a thought for today. I like me spiritually. I like me spiritually. I like me spiritually. Seems like we've been talking a lot about that, haven't we? That's been our theme for quite a little while now. Today is the last day. I like me spiritually. Many times we think that to like ourselves spiritually, we like ourselves because we are doing something else. We like ourselves because we are living up to some principle or something like that. We like ourselves because we are nice people, or whatever we are. Why do we like ourselves? Why do we ever like ourselves? Now, Ellen just gave us a talk, and in the talk, we found out that she slept in a double bed several nights with Ingeborg, and that the bed was not exceedingly large, and the bed had a mosquito net over it. And the bed was in their room, and they were not sure what was going to happen at different points along the way. And Ellen misplaced her purse, and so she got her purse back. Ellen was not sure of her communication with the people she visited, but she got through anyhow. Ellen felt insecure. Ellen didn't listen to her divine self, especially Ingeborg. She didn't listen. Ingeborg sat there like a stone, and her divine self was going, pow, 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 listen to me, pow, 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 listen to me. And Ingeborg just sat there and didn't do anything. When the chauffeur was down there looking for them, Ingeborg said, that's probably our chauffeur. And the thing for Ingeborg to do was to go down to the fellow and say, hey, are you our chauffeur? Instantly, because she felt that it was him. When your self tells you to do something, do it instantly. Because he could have gone away. And then indeed you would have had no chauffeur. Follow your heart instantly. Follow your heart instantly. Now, Heinz is proverbial and known for leaving his purse in restaurants, leaving his purse on the seat next to him, leaving his purse many places. And always, the purse comes back intact. But that's not the thing. Heinz was not responsible. He did not take care of that which was most important for the journey. The journey needed to have those papers, those documents. Heinz had the University of Healing credit cards in his pocket, and he left them on chairs and in restaurants and here and there. And he smiled about it and laughed. Oh, it'll come back. Of course it'll come back. But that's not being a master of yourself spiritually. If you're going to be a spiritual master yourself, how should I say this? It pains me to say this, so I just don't want to say it. If you're going to be master of yourself, you have to be master of yourself in the little things. The little things, the big things, that will work out. But the little things, you're always concerned about the big things, the war, the pestilence, the disease, the poverty, abundance. Why not think about the little things? Who did Ellen expect to pick her up at the airport? Her friend. Was he there? Yes. Why did she worry about it? Why didn't she just say, he will be there? Put the cause in motion. And he was. Because there was a good angel inside of her head fighting with the bad angel. And the bad angel was saying, maybe he won't come. The good angel was saying, he's there. The bad angel was saying, no, he might not come. The good angel was saying, he's there. We have this. Called our conscience, you know. I like me spiritually. When you like yourself spiritually, you live harmonious with yourself, with the little things. The little things are really quite big, but the little things you call little. The little things like saying, my teeth are perfect. The little things like saying, my toes are perfect. The little things like saying, we are independently wealthy. Little? Yeah, that's a little thing. The little things like saying, we are surrounded by harmonious beings in a harmonious circumstance. We are surrounded by harmonious beings in a harmonious circumstance. That's your spirituality. That's your spirit. Your spirituality can only be known in your humanness right now. And as you attune, take charge of your humanness, your spirituality will take charge of itself. Because your spirituality is looking to see if you are a self-disciplined person. Really. See, why is spirituality looking to me to see if I'm a self-disciplined person? Because if you're not a self-disciplined person, your spirituality is being pushed to the back. Because you have a thought in your mind of limitation in some area. And thoughts of limitation do not allow spirituality to shine forth. They allow limitation to shine forth. Spirituality is unlimited. Spirituality cannot express where you are expressing limitation. Spirituality cannot express where you are experiencing doubt. Spirituality cannot express where you are experiencing something where you don't like yourself. Spirituality is liking yourself. Spirituality is living in harmony with your human world in a most divine way. Are you ready for that? You say, yes, I'm ready, I'm ready. Well, be careful. Be careful. What are you doing when you get up here to talk? When you get up here to talk, you have the opportunity of shining forth your unlimited spirituality. You have the opportunity to get up here and share with those you love where you are on the path. Not where you were, not your mistakes, not your garbage, but your purity and your goodness. Now, losing a person, so forth like that, could be garbage, but she found it again. But the point is, your purse is always in its right place. Your life is always in its right order. Your abundance is always flowing abundantly. Sorry, Ellen, I used abundant twice there. It's flowing, not lugubriously, slowly, tediously, but lovingly. It is, in fact, it's not even flowing. Your abundance is. You live in abundance. It's not a flow from someplace to someplace. It's an is. Our abundance is. Whatever we think we don't buy, we have. We think food, we have it. We think car, we have it. Oh, well, somebody's got to buy it. That's not your concern. Your concern is that you have it. If you are sitting in your lovely home, and you're enjoying your lovely swimming pool, and you're enjoying all the things that your home gives you, and then you say, we're running a little low on food. We have enough, but we're running a little low. And the doorbell rings, and the man says, you have just won the program which says, food for 10 years. All the food that you can eat from any store that you wish for 10 years. Wouldn't that be interesting? And so, you just choose what food you want. You don't have to take certain foods. You can take any food you want. And you think, gorge, gorge, gorge. And you say, no, I don't have to gorge my spirituality. I don't have to gorge my abundance, which is mine. And I only give you one possibility of it coming to you from an unexpected source. The source is one, the divine, you, your receptivity. The channel could be infinite. Any number of channels could bring it to you. Ellen sits at her breakfast table and she says, I love this fruit drink that I had in Ghana. I love this fruit drink that I had in San Diego. I just love that fruit drink. And then the doorbell rings. And there on the front door are 20 gallons of this fruit drink. She says, my God, when are we going to do that? And then along with it comes a lovely refrigerator to keep it in. So it's all nicely maintained. Herb, this is stupid talk. This is wishful thinking. This is idiot. It's not an idiot. That's the way the principle works. That's the way the principle works. John wanted to learn to climb mountains. He didn't just go climb them. The right person was there to show him how. Each step along the way of his growing awareness of how to climb a mountain. Each step kept him in a certain area so that he would build a skill before he went to the next area. So when he went to the next area, he was skilled and ready for the next area. You have exactly the kind of car you want to drive. Ellen says, I love Jeeps, 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 and she had Jeeps. Now she loves expeditions. She'd love an excursion or a navigator, perhaps. But to drive a giant vehicle around like that with no purpose, not that it has to have a purpose, but let's get you an 18-wheeler. Then you'd really be up high. You would really be a power on the road. But you don't want something like that. What you want is a big car and a little car's body so that you can have all the power, all the whatever it gives you, the pleasure it gives you, and be able to park it in small places. Be able to park, well, of course, if you have the intelligence, you would have a place to park wherever you want. If you needed two parking places every time you park, there would be two parking places right for you, right? Mm-hmm. You see, you don't limit yourself. We try to limit ourselves because we try to rationalize. Our spirituality is developed by doing the little things, by saying, I like me. Not by saying, I like you and I like all, I like me. You gotta like you first. If you don't like you, all this liking others isn't going to help. You're being magnanimous. John, what does magnanimous mean?
Looking to the outer. Looking.
I'm sorry?
Looking to receive from the outer.
No, magnanimous means you're giving abundantly to others. You're magnanimous. You're giving to others in great abundance. And that's not what we want to do. We want to be both the source and the receiver. We want to be the allness. Now, you want to be these things, don't you? What does a rich man do when he gives gifts? What's the word for that, John? When a rich man gives of his wealth to the world, he gives greatly of his wealth. You see, you should learn these words because these words are the consciousness you want to have. You want to have the consciousness that you are abundant and you're giving of your wealth to the world, not because the world needs it. I'm going to build a beautiful hospital, not because we need it, but because I like building hospitals. I like building schools. I like having beautiful streets. So I say to the city council, would you give me permission to install city streets throughout the city, beautiful streets, perfectly arced. Would you give me? And he said, why, yes, Mr. Rich, sure. And so, just as long as it fits in with our program of streets and goes along with our street department so that they, you know, will know where to put the sewer lines and stuff. Oh, no problem. And so, you, in your city, put in the most beautiful streets throughout the city, most beautiful sewer lines, most beautiful telephone lines and power lines, underground, everything underground. You build the most beautiful civic buildings, a glorious library, harmonious with a community of 5,000 people. A beautiful elementary school and high school, with all the latest equipment inside of it to teach the youngsters all these wonderful things that we teach them. Churches, for every denomination who wants a church, you build a glorious edifice in keeping with the style that their church represents. You build playgrounds and parks, ballparks, you build stadiums. 5,000 people? Yep. If you build it, they'll come. You say, Herb, that's Bill Gates type talk. What are you talking about? No, that's not Bill Gates type talk. See, Bill Gates has money, but Bill Gates doesn't have fun with his money. For you and I, perhaps, wouldn't it be fun just to go out and take a little community that is nice, but not really nice, and remodel it, the whole thing, fix it all up for the people? Wouldn't it be fun? Not because they need it, but because, or maybe go build a new community. And they'll come. Put in new housing developments and this and that. Not for the poor people, not for the rich people, not for the average people, but for people. And don't give it to them. Sell it to them. Because if you give it to them, they have a tendency not to respect it. But if they have to buy it, they'll take care of their own. Wouldn't it be fascinating? Wouldn't it be fascinating to, hey, decide that you're going to build a little city up in the sky? It floats in this dome ball up in the sky, and it has everything in it. It's self-contained. And when people want to come down to Earth, they can just come down to Earth by their mind, you know, travel back and forth. But people wouldn't want to come down because they got paradise there. Now, wouldn't it be fun? Mm-hmm. Now, you see, we think of wealth, and right away we think of enough wealth to do the things we want to do. No, no. You are wealth. Wealth means all wealth. It doesn't mean limited wealth just to pay your bills. It means all wealth. Whatever crazy ideas can come to your mind. We think, hearing stories of Atlantis, that those areas, Atlantis and Mu and so forth, which had been taken under by the tectonic plates as it moved, they were glorious places we are hearing. Now, why do we think that? They were nothing more than places that used the mental attitude of our consciousness. You have all the possibility in the world of liking yourself spiritually, living in your unlimited quality of self. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be wonderful? When are you going to start doing it? The moment you say, I like me, the moment you make promises to yourself and you keep them, whatever the promises may be, stupid or good, whatever promises you make, keep them, because those promises are your spirituality. That is your key, your tie to who you are. And if you ever feel that, hey, I'm missing out on the adventures of being human, well, go be human. Go ahead. When you want to come back and be spiritual, walk your spiritual path, then come back. But go be human. That's okay. Most people want to be human because they enjoy the... Now, here we are. We are on a lemonade diet, for instance. And on the lemonade diet, we think, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have a piece of chocolate cake or some chocolate ice cream? Wouldn't it be nice to have a nice steak or have nice chicken or fish or lettuce salad, the spinach salad down at Coco's is so wonderful. Wouldn't it be nice to have it? And I'm going to go back there more often because that spinach salad is good. But I have no desire for it. I'm talking about it. But I'm on this lemonade program and I like it. I feel very good on it. I have no desire for the food. What is it that I have a desire for? It's a sociability. When we eat, we usually sit together and talk. We sit together and think things together. And when we don't eat, then we're off doing our own thing. Food is merely a sociability thing. A nice sociability thing, but just sociability. And you really don't have any desire for the food. By the time the food gets down into your tummy, you've forgotten what it tastes like. And by the time the food gets down to your tummy, you've eaten more than you want to eat because your tummy doesn't register until about 20 minutes after you've eaten that you're full. That's unfortunate. Your tummy should have a barometer on it. Full enough. This is take care of this body perfectly. Stop. No more down. You know. But you see, we don't have that. Because we are playing the human game. And the human game says, gorge. Get all the money you can. Get all the motion you can. Get all the feeling you can. Get all the love you can. Get all the dynamics you can. Get everything you can. And then you're possessed by that getting. Politicians, they want power and power and more power. If the politicians really wanted to help the people, and most of them do, if they really wanted to help the people, you wouldn't hear anything about them. You would only see wonderful results. And basically, we do see wonderful results. Here in America, we see wonderful highways. We see wonderful schools. We see wonderful airports, wonderful cities, wonderful everything. Really, there's a lot of stuff that isn't so wonderful, but basically, everything's wonderful. The not-so-wonderful things are what we hear about. We hear about the politician who steals money. We hear about the politician who has a pork barrel, who's taking money for himself, who's putting things in his district where it isn't needed, and taking it away from other districts where presumably it's needed. We hear about those things. But you don't hear about the politicians that are doing wonderful things, that are making this country a more beautiful, harmonious place in which to live. You don't hear about that. And so it is, my beloved friends. You don't hear about spirituality. You don't hear about the spiritual beings, the spiritual masters, the people who walk the spiritual path. Because they walk it unannounced. They're the unsung hero, if you want to call it a hero. They're not known for the glorious things that they do because they shy away from publicity. If they do something nice for another person, they're gone before the other person had a chance to say thank you. Because they want thank you from no one. They don't need it. They're just doing it. See, Andrew Carnegie, wealthy steel magnate from early parts of the 19th century, he went to virtually every city in the United States, every city, large and small, and built a glorious library. A glorious library, which made reading available to the country people as well as the city people. And it did a lot to help the literacy in the United States. But then we look at Guyana, a nation that has lots of little growth problems. Their literacy, 98%. And they don't have any libraries all over the place. They don't have any schools all over the place. They have schools, they have these things. But literacy, 98%. Pretty good. I wonder what it is in the United States. I wonder what it is in Europe. Interesting. Today, in the 21st century, it is better than it was in the 20th century or the 19th century, obviously. But yet, in each century, we know what we have to know. If you are a spiritually illumined being, you don't need to have any schooling, any education from schools. You know it within. And you do know it. You can be tested in any way. You'll be asked, what does a word mean? And you'll know the meaning of it. Because you know the meaning of it. Not that you ever looked it up in the dictionary, not that you had ever even used it before, but you know the meaning. Now, why do you know the meaning? Because you are universal. The infinite allness is in you, through you, as you, and it's wonderful. What role do you want to play on I Like Me spiritually? What role do you really want to play on that? It's easy to say, I want to be a master, then go out and be human. That's easy. You can look at many of your peers, many of your friends, many of the people in the world around you who are doing just that. And hey, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. You came here to Earth to remember who you are. But nobody said the journey had to go fast. You can take your time remembering who you are and stub your toe and feel limited and struggle for health and struggle for wealth and struggle for all the things. But once you are walking your spiritual path, there's no struggle anymore. You just flow with the allness. You flow with the isness. And when you flow with it, you enjoy it. No reason you can't have everything that the world has to offer. But if there's a struggle to it, you're going at it wrong. If there's anything that you're doing, which is saying to yourself, this is tough, you're going at it wrong. So put the cause in motion for going at it correctly. Put the cause in motion for doing it beautifully. Put the cause in motion for who you are. Here it is, 20 minutes to 7 in the morning, 6:40. And you've been up since 4 o'clock, 4:30 maybe, 4 o'clock something. And you have read your lessons and you've done different things. How many times in those hours, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 3.5 hours almost, in those 2.5 hours, in that time, how many times have you said, I am God? How many times have you said, I like me? How many times have you said, I am the allness? How many times have you said, I am abundance? I am health. I am wealth. How many times have you said, I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body? How many times have you fallen in love with your toe or your nose? How many times have you looked at your body and said, this is a good body. This is a real good body. Just the kind I like. How many times have you been delighted in who and what you are? 2.5 hours? And I would venture to say, maybe, if at most 5 minutes. You may have sat in your meditation, but I know what you were thinking about in your meditation. I visited you this morning. And it was very, very, very traditional, very, very casual, not very powerful. And I've been with you each, and I know exactly how many times you said, I like me. How many times you said, I'm whole and perfect. How many times you said, this is the temple of the living spirit. I know exactly. Not very many. And you know too. I counted. You didn't even count. Now, in a 2.5 hour period, You could have done so much mentally. You could do everything else you were doing too, but you could do that mentally. And you could have risen up in glory, in your reality of who you are. Wow! You know? And I share this with you, and I tell you, I'm not trying to be mean to you or hard on you. I'm just saying, hey, this is the way it works. Now, do you want it? Go for it. If you don't, then don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Because everything you do here on the campus, everything you do in the monastery, is an opportunity for you to shine forth your realization, I like me, spirituality. Realization of to know spiritually that I like me. And today is the last of our series, I Like Me. And we've concluded with the topic of spirituality. And if in these past 8-10 lessons of I Like Me, you have gotten anything at all, be true to yourself, and your life will be expressing its spirituality. I love you.